Boker Tov, Rabbi Galperin.
How are you, Ilan?
I am good. I am fine. How are you?
Baruch Hashem, thank God. Everything is doing great.
That's great. Parashat Bo.
You know, it's a very, very interesting Torah portion. You know, we're finishing off now the last three of the ten plagues that were on Egypt. So we had a swarm of locusts that ate all the crops. You had a thick darkness. And then you have all the firstborns of Egypt were killed. And you think about it, they were killed at the stroke of midnight. Exactly midnight is when they were killed. And the only person that can do something at exact, specific, precise time is God.
Yeah.
Because I can tell you I'm going to be there at 5 o'clock. There's no guarantee that I'm not going to be there at 5:01 or 4:59 or 5:03. But if God says 12, it's 12 o'clock.
But why midnight?
That's right. Oh, why midnight?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I don't know if it's... to be honest, I don't know if there is a specific answer. I know it says,
yeah.
If there is a specific reason, possibly. I mean, I can think the only reason that I could try and think is what I was saying is that to be able to show that it's the stroke of midnight, not a minute before. And I think if I remember correctly, and you can't quote me on that, I believe Rashi is the one that talks about it.
Okay.
But I have to double check that to be able to show us that at the stroke of midnight, not a minute before, not a minute after, is when it happens.
Precisely.
Precisely that. I have to double check on that, but I believe it's on that.
Okay.
And, you know, obviously there were a lot of commandments given us. The first mitzvah that was given to Jewish people was to establish a calendar based on the monthly rebirth of the moon. We were also instructed to bring a Passover sacrifice, which was a lamb. And we would then take the blood and put it on the doorpost that God would be able to pass over the homes when he comes to kill the Egyptian firstborn.
That's the reason for the mezuzah.
One of the reasons, yes, correct.
Okay.
And then you have the, they have to hastily depart, and there's no time for their dough to rise, and therefore they have matzah. And the children of Israel are commanded to consecrate all the firstborn and to observe the anniversary of the Exodus by doing Pesach and eating the Matzah and telling everything about our children, telling everything what occurred to our children. Now, it's very interesting, if you see in this week's Torah portion, we see that, you know, there's a lot of a very famous line, if you want to say, you know, free at last, free at last. Who was the one that said that? That was
Martin Luther King.
Very good.
Thank
but,
you.
So you could say that could have been said about Moses, or even for that matter, any other one of the millions of Jews who were liberated from Egyptian bondage.
Slavery, yeah.
Correct, you know, and in this week when we read about the exodus of the great exodus of Egypt, where, you know, let my people go, God says that they may serve me, and that was the divine call that was, transmitted by Moshe, by Moses to Pharaoh. So, you know, obviously the question would be that if the purpose of leaving Egypt and to leave the rulership of Pharaoh was to be able to serve God. Think about it, where's the freedom? We're still slaves. We're not slaves to Pharaoh, but we're still slaves now to the Almighty. We become servants to the Almighty.
Yeah.
So what is it that we see that there's not really necessarily that sort of freedom that we might say, you know, free at last, if you have the concept of, not really free, we've got to become now slaves to God.
Yeah.
You know, indeed, there's countless individuals that continue to question the merit of religion in general, because you know, you think about it, say, who do we really want to submit to the rigors of our religion? We can be free spirits. You know, you think about it a lot of times, you know, religion, they argue, it's not so, it doesn't really go with our, you know, creative style of who we are. It always, you know, shouts instructions and lays down the laws, you know, that you don't do this and you shouldn't do that or else, and if you do that, this is what's going to happen, the do's and the don'ts. And
so what is the difference between these two slaveries, Paros and gods?
Ah, so give me a minute.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
you want the answer? You know what it says? It says you know, when who do they come? When they came the Gemara. It's also when they came to my mind's not working. One of the three people came. They teach me the Torah on regular chat. Oh,
no, there is no on regular chat.
So you know, but it's a good question. That's the word. That's what I'm trying to figure out. And hopefully by the end we're gonna have an answer.
Okay.
But so you know, it always, you know, there's the do's and the don'ts and the regulations. Why can't I just be me? Why can't I do what I want and you know when I want and how I want? And many Jews have that argument, you know, the mitzvot that God wants me to do, cramping my style, keeping kosher is very inconvenient, you know, Shabbat rarely gets in the way of a lot of people's weekends, Passover, the biggest headache of the whole year, and, you know, Passover, you've got to recount the liberation of the Jews leaving Egypt.
Yeah.
And to really understand it, you know, you go and look in the Talmud, the sages of the Talmud used to say, there's no one as free as who is occupied with the study of Torah. Ein ben chorin el mi shelomed Torah. But if you think about it, how can that possibly be true? Torah is filled with rules of law, ethics, and even, you know, if we take the high road and we decide to do different things, we might go away from the call of our duty. The question is really, and this is how we're going to really answer this question, is how can we say that the Torah makes us free? It's more inhibiting, perhaps, than liberating, if you think about it.
Yeah.
If you think about it on a literal sense, it's really not too free. We don't really become free from it. And, you know, I remember hearing once an explanation that I think could help us understand. There was a person who this fellow had a friend who was a very famous yachtsman, and he accomplished to navigate, you know, the high seas, and you know, he was very accomplished in yachting. And he told this person, he gave a lesson once to him, and he said, in sailing, you know, you want to, the yachtsman taught him that if you want to enjoy the freedom of the high seas, you must first become a slave to the compass, to be able to show you how to go, where to go, what to do.
Yeah.
And you might, you know, someone that's coming in, which this person was, coming into learning how to yacht and learning how to do things, he said, oh, all that thing, I got to take the professional advice from this person. Why should I follow this little gadget? Why can't I go where I please? Why can't I go where I want to go? It's my yacht. I can do everything I want. But he was missing the point that, you know, that without the navigational stick provided by the compass, we'll just flounder and sail in circles. We're not going to really go anywhere. And only by following the lead of the compass will the wind catch our sails, and we can experience the exhilaration of the high seas.
Yeah.
That's what he was saying. He's saying, if you want to enjoy the freedom of the high seas, you must first become a slave to the compass. And the Torah is the compass of life, of our life. It provides our navigational system, so we can know where to go, we can know how to go, we can know how to get there. And without the Torah's guidance and direction, we'd be lost in an orphan, you know, quote on, you know, just as a parable, you know, stormy seas. The stormy seas of confusion. And without spiritual guidance, we just wander off. Wandering through our life. And, you know, are we, where are we going to head? Where are we going to go? What direction are we going to go? You know, sometimes you say, you know, you see it with your, with our kids, you know, when they're home from school on vacation, they're free. They're free from discipline, free from the educational systems, and unless you have a program, you know, that if we're able to send our kids to a summer camp, or we get them busy.
Camp Yomi,
you know, whatever it may be, whether it be going on vacation, Camp Yomi, however it is.
Yeah, yeah.
They get very frustrated with their freedom. They don't know what to do.
You need to occupy them.
They don't know where to go. So if you're able to become, make your life part of that, the compass, which is the Torah, is guiding us in the right way, leading us to, we all just keep going around in circles, that's how we're able to keep going further. You know, and in the Torah lifestyle, for example, itself, not everyone is the same. Whether a person has, you know, kippah all day, whether a person has tzitzit all day, whether a person wears a black hat and wears has a beard or no beard, or glasses or no glasses, learns Torah, doesn't learn Torah, it doesn't make a difference. The fact that everyone is Jewish and you have the Torah as your essence of who you are, everyone has their own unique, ideas and personalities that they can give out to be able to be someone of who we are. And we can be committed to Torah, to the compass, and still be free spirits. You know, and that's what it is really. There is no one as free as a person who occupies in Torah. Because if you don't occupy yourself in Torah, then what happens is you're just frustrated with your freedom. You don't know what to do. You're bored. What can I do? How can I go anywhere? That's just an example.
Yeah. And then you can get lost.
Correct. Exactly. So if you have that compass, you have that sort of life telling you how to go, where to go, and in what vein, in what avenue you're going to becoming closer to Hashem, what happens is that you don't feel as a slave to God. You feel that this is part of your life. You feel that what you're doing is how you want to be able to live your life, in whatever way you live. But everything that you do is always surrounded by Torah and by Mitzvot. Therefore, you don't become a slave. And therefore, we're free. So free people are people that are able to realize God, to be able to learn the Torah, to be able to live our lives in that way, to follow that compass, that we don't sail the high seas of moving nowhere.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, something that's interesting that you that you know, when I was reading to the parsha, something that crossed my mind, you know, that and you get that every day of life, you know, you always have the questions, whether it be another Jew asking the Jew, hey, why do we need this? What are we doing for? Or whether you're asking it in yourself, in your own neshama, you know, when you wake up in the morning, like, do I really need to do this? Do I don't need to do this? You know, sometimes when you wake up in the morning, if you don't have, you know, you start off on a good note, you know, things are going well, you feel that, you know, your day is productive, you're doing good things, you know, you're accomplishing a lot. But when a person wakes up at 12, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, or 11 o'clock, and you're just starting your day, and you're this, and you're that, you don't feel anything. Why? Because you don't have that, you know, right compass, direction, guiding you in the right way. You don't feel fulfilled.
Yeah.
You don't feel free. And that's what the Torah is about.
That's nice.
So that's, you know, that's also when the Jews were leaving Egypt. We didn't become servants of God. We became in the army of Hashem. We became soldiers in God's army. That's who we are.
That's who we are.
that's who we are. So that's, I thought that was a very interesting, important lesson that we can learn from this week's Torah portion.
Yeah. And Rabbi, what about services in...
Services are 6 o'clock Friday evening, Shabbat morning, 9 o'clock, and candle lighting this week is 4:58, I believe.
4:58
is candle lighting. So we're inching up a couple of minutes every week.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's beautiful.
Very good. So Rabbi, thank you.
Thank you, and God willing, we will speak next week.
Next week we will, and Shabbat Shalom.
You too, until then, have a superb week and a good Shabbat.
Same here. Thank you.
All right.